Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
It's the 405 Radio. We are not in Los Angeles, California. We are in Orlando, Florida, as part of the Right Online Defending the American Dream Summit. And props to Americans for Prosperity for giving us this bountiful space at Radio Row here. We're going to be doing a bunch of live broadcasts pretty much off and on today, Friday, tomorrow, Saturday. If you want to check back at the website, we'll also have some videos of some of our hosts and some famous people and soon-to-be-famous people. And we'll also be posting some photos as well up there. So just a whole barrage of content on the 405radio.com if you want to check out what we're doing here in Florida. Anyway, we are not going to be opening up the phone lines. That's the catch. We're going to be doing stuff strictly from out here because that's where all the cool kids are. Our first hour, we will call the VIP Bloggers Roundtable. We have two really cool people we're going to talk to here. I will introduce you to them. The first one is a fellow Californian. She is from San Diego. Say hello to Jordan Bostic. Good morning, Jordan.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Jordan is the founder of Vocalize.com, and I want you to tell us what gave you the idea to do this. It really is something that is not ordinary social political media.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, Vocalize.com is a political social networking site designed to integrate politics with popular culture. We all know that everybody lives online now. We do everything through social media. We shop, work, everything online. So I wanted to create a place to discuss politics online where, you know, both sides are present. You can give your liberal opinions, you can give your conservative opinions, whatever you want, and basically just debate each other and connect with people that have different or the same opinions as you.
So, unlike a lot of us who start blogs with some very dug-in political beliefs, you've sort of opened it up and said, no matter what side you're on, come on and talk about it, right?
Yeah, I truly believe the debate needs to be had, and, you know, everybody has different views, but I don't agree with any party 100%, and I think that's how most of the people in the United States feel. They might identify with a certain party more than one or the other, but when it comes down to it, each issue deserves an honest debate.
You have some political views, but you endeavor not to let them smother people on the other side on your site because that's the way you do it, right?
Well, I do have my own political beliefs, and I'm willing to stand up for them. I debate people all the time on the site, and I'm not too afraid of what people think of my opinions because, like I said, Vocalize.com, I have no control over what people post on the site. I can debate with other people, but it's a platform. There's no bias there whatsoever, and I think these opinion. I think everybody should have an opinion, so
you,
I deserve to have one.
Do you act
well.
In, or do you have people that function in kind of a moderating role, or does somebody step in and say, uh-uh?
Yeah, so originally it was just me, and then I had one intern come on, and I'm actually growing now, so I have about four interns. All of us are kind of volunteers at this point. We've only been up for 2 months. And actually something really exciting that I haven't announced on any media outlet yet is that we just hit 1,000 users.
Woo!
And we've been up for 2 months, so it's really exciting. But I'm slowly growing, and I hope to eventually be able to bring on full staff and get going.
Okay. We're also going to talk to VIP blogger number two, Tom Bollock. Tom, tell us about your website, tell us where you're from, and everything we need to know about you and politics and, I guess, rock and roll, because you're serving all of the above guy, right?
That's right. Hey, thanks for having me on, John, and good morning to the 405 listeners, wherever you are. I started my blog site about a year ago. It was actually right after the last Right Online convention in Las Vegas last year. And, again, I give props to AFP because they're the ones that got me started along this road.
You know what I'm going to say here, and it's going to sound like I'm brown-nosing, but if you are a startup activist organization or blogging site or anything to do with new media, these are the guys that really reach out to you. And I think part of the reason is because they're a very horizontal organization. They've got a lot of state-level people. So, for instance, you know, I can reach out to the people in California or Wisconsin or your state, which is what? I'm sorry?
Montana.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Do they have an AFP in Montana?
Our AFP assistant director was right
okay.
behind me. Just
oh, okay. That's right.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is you can plug into these guys and you have someone who's a local go-to, and they'll sort of, you know, coach you and they'll sort of help you out.
Well, they actually sent me to Las Vegas for the purpose of getting interested
in, on a scholarship?
In starting a blog. On a scholarship.
Oh, wow. See, that's deluxe, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good crew. Like I said, I'm from Montana, and my mission is to gently teach as many people as I can. I find there are so many people all over the country. I also am in North Carolina. I'm kind of moving from Montana to North Carolina. But I'm finding so many people have been disengaged. They're busy going to work every day. They're raising their families. They don't get good news. What news they get is oftentimes not accurate. And so they're either disengaged or misinformed or both.
And most of us, you know, work for a living, you know?
That's what I'm saying.
And, I mean, I had to sort of set some things aside to come out here. It was Labor Day weekend, so things sort of slowed down. But, you know, we just can't jump in the streets and bitch about $15 an hour minimum wages like anybody else can.
You're not going to win a lot of converts by jumping on a table and beating your chest. It's just not going to work. So my approach has been to gently teach them with some humor and some music and a little common sense, teaching basic conservative fiscal principles, primarily fiscal issues. I have some pretty strong beliefs on the social issues too, but that's too often.
We can talk about that because I think right now there's a struggle with the right as to how to proceed on social issues. And I think, you know, most of us, and I don't want to speak for all of us, but most of us would consider ourselves to be pro-life. However, you start moving towards some of the same-sex marriage issues and then things just sort of fizzle out a little bit. So,
well, my feeling about that is my background is financial. I'm a early retired management guy, and I understand economics. I've studied economics, and I think I've finally got life figured out to the extent that I can gently teach people who need some education about what's really going on in our economy. And the other thing, John, is if the economy goes to hell, the social issues don't matter.
I completely agree. One thing you said that I really wanted to touch on was people being uninformed and definitely not engaged in politics. And I think that is the biggest problem. You know, when we talk about Obamacare, most people, if they understand what it actually does for their life and for their health care, they're against it. Nobody wants the government to have full access to all of your health information. But most people my age, at least, don't even consider it. It's not even in their realm of thought. They've never heard of it. They've never thought about it. It's just, you know, they go to work every day, like you said. They're just not watching the news. They're not reading the right media. They might tune into CNN or MSNBC or even Fox for an hour or so once a week, but it's not enough to really understand. I mean, you guys know we have to be into this 100% of the time, trying to learn everything we can, and there's not enough time in the day to figure out exactly what our government is doing.
Well, and the country is very polarized too, and that's distasteful to a lot of people. So they just don't want to get engaged because it's conflict and it's not comfortable for them.
Yeah, I completely agree, and that's something I've really tried to push on Vocalize, is we deserve to have these discussions, and even though it's uncomfortable and you might get offended, it's still worth it because we're at the point now where our country really needs us to care.
What is the mix on Vocalize of issues? And I know you've got categories. I don't know if you run any metrics on these or statistics. I'm just curious as to, you know, where the bulk of the comments come from and where the bulk of the posts start. What are the things that are, you know, really burning alive right now in people's minds?
You know, well, it's different depending on what's going on. So right now, international issues are exploding. There's topics on Syria,
okay,
and the Middle East. I mean, I talked about this on Wayne's show, the prison breaks in the Middle East. You know, Al-Qaeda broke out over 2,000 operatives, and the media didn't say a single
almost
thing
no
about
coverage.
It.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. And
yeah,
you're talking about why we closed the embassies. Well, I mean, that seems like a pretty good reason. I don't know if the NSA actually heard anything through their chatter or whatever, but it seems like 2,000 Al-Qaeda operatives being released in the Middle East seems like a pretty good reason to close embassies. But aside from that, there's a lot of social issues, a lot about Obamacare. That was trending for the first month we were up. Obamacare was the number one topic. But it's been all over the place. Even that drug lean because of the whole Trayvon Martin
the what?
Problem. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It's also called grape.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
The iced tea that Trayvon Martin brought back from the 7-Eleven wasn't
like
just any
drank?
Iced tea. Exactly. He was making
purple
drink.
I didn't know what that was for a while. I looked it up. Yep. It's what? Cough syrup and I don't know.
And Arizona watermelon tea and Skittles and some other stuff, yeah.
You know, and that discussion on Vocalize turned into a debate about race because they were saying, was the media afraid to, you know, you were just totally willing to call it purple drink. But a lot of people would consider that very racist.
Really?
Yeah, but you know what? It's the reality, so we should talk about it because it's the reality of the situation. He had two out of the three things that you needed to make the drug lean, and his liver damage from the autopsy showed results consistent with somebody who was an active...
Wow, you're all over this.
Yeah.
So when you say social issues on Vocalize, and I know, you know, we're told, and I'm sure you'll agree, young people feel like we need to sort of pull away from that and not start fights, in some cases, on arguments we can't win, such as same-sex marriage. What are the social issues that you see on your site?
I don't believe we should step away from the social issues. I believe there is a place for discussion in culture about the social issues, but I don't know if that's the same thing as our government being involved. Regarding gay marriage, me personally, I think we should just let that one go. I'm from California. I have a lot of gay friends, and I'm not offended if somebody's married. For me, it's not a big deal. I understand that the term marriage, a lot of people consider to be the actual definition defined between a man and a woman, but I'm kind of at the point where this just isn't an issue that I care about. I'm more interested in the economy and what's going on abroad, but people in my generation, I think, if you talk about the... At least I'm in California, so it's different. I have a lot of liberal people around me.
Oh, tell me about it.
But regarding abortion and other, you know, social issues, drugs, things like that, for me it's like...
Do you consider drugs a social issue?
I don't know. It should be a health issue, but...
And it's an economic issue.
Yes.
You know, I told you guys that...
Do they have medicinal marijuana in Montana?
Yes.
Okay. How's that working out?
Disaster. It's been an utter disaster.
That's what I hear from most people, because if you look at the small L libertarian view of drugs, we're going to ramble here, folks, so my apologies. We're going to cover as much as we can. If you look at the small L libertarian view on drugs, they say if we just legalize it or decriminalize it, we can get government out of it. My argument is there's more government in medical marijuana and recreational marijuana than there was when it was illegal. When it was illegal, it was black or white, slam dunk. You couldn't have this stuff. Now that we've got these, you know, gradients of legality, we've spawned all these tax issues. I think in Colorado, there's some arguments about, you know, should it be imported or should it be exported? I mean, man, you just can't really agree that government has become less of a role now that we've decriminalized or allowed for medical marijuana. That's just a scam.
Why are government officials so unable to anticipate unexpected consequences? Montana's medical marijuana is a classic case.
I think it's a naivete or a wishful thinking on the part of libertarians in some situations.
Well, here's what happened in Montana with medical marijuana. It was well-intentioned. The voter, it was a referendum. It was passed pretty handily by the voters. Their intention was to enable medical marijuana people who had pain issues or other things that indicated using marijuana for relief. It was well-intentioned. Within 3 months, there was a couple thousand head shops in every city and small town across the state, and people were growing marijuana in all over the state, and it was completely out of control in no time. Brought in some criminal elements. They regrouped last year in the legislature, made some changes to the law, and put some teeth into it, and a lot of the head shops are gone now.
So I have a question for you, because in California, you'll be walking down the street and, you know, Pacific Beach, there's a boardwalk, and Venice Beach on the boardwalk, and there are literally people dressed in a marijuana plant with a sign that says, come and get your medical marijuana card here, and you pay them $50 and then you have a medical marijuana card. There's nothing involved other than that. I mean, is that how it is where you live as well in Montana?
Exactly, exactly. In fact, all you would have to do is go to a doctor, and they found out that the people who were presenting themselves as doctors weren't certified or licensed or anything, but just say, you know, I'm nervous, so I need marijuana. And
then,
that's all it took to get a card.
But then there is like that situation in New Jersey where the young girl, I think she was like 3 or 4 years old, was having seizures, like hundreds of seizures a day.
Well, that was the Chris Christie thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he refused to sign it, if I'm thinking about it correctly. But for me, in that situation, let her have medical marijuana. I mean, our scientists now can extract the actual medicinal part of marijuana and take out the part that actually gets you high. Our scientists can do so many things, and I just think if that's going to save someone, let them have it.
What we're talking about is social conservative issues versus fiscal conservative issues, and you know, when you get right down to it, I find that it's all connected.
I was going to say, don't they blur together? Because what you have in this situation is people that have just decided they're going to check out, and you get Jason the surfer, right?
Yeah, good example.
We're going to make Jordan accountable for Jason the surfer. You know who
That's
he is, don't
guy,
you?
The rat
yes,
life guy
yeah.
from La Jolla?
San Diego.
Okay, so I'm
he's
my
a
boyfriend.
He's a fellow guitar
She's
player.
She's not into
I
the
relate.
Surfing culture.
My boyfriend lives in La Jolla, and so I asked him, I was like, do you know this guy? And he said that guy, he was like, I've seen him around.
He's in La Jolla?
He's definitely not from La Jolla. The guy
no,
from
because
La Jolla.
That's money, isn't it? And, you
well,
know.
It is. It's a very wealthy area, but a lot of surfers go down there because there's great surf. But,
yeah.
But the kid, you know, everyone in La Jolla that's a surfer was so embarrassed by that. And so for everyone listening, that guy was not from La Jolla. He was not a part of this.
Yeah, we got a whole laundry list of San Diego stuff. Bob Filner, you know, coming up next. So.
He does not represent all of us guitar players either.
Yeah, exactly.
He probably doesn't even play guitar well. You know, he's too stoned.
I heard him on TV,
really?
And he was not ready for prime time.
It
we're going to take a break and come back. We're going to get our throats wet here and take a little stretch. We're going to play some commercial breaks here, and we're also going to hear from News Ninja 2012, who we had a chance to talk to last night. So we will take a break and come back. We are live at Defending the Dream Summit on the 405radio.com.
You're on the 405.
And once again, let us say good evening to Wayne Dupree.
Hey, people, this is Wayne Dupree.
Pure energy.
That give me liberty or give me death, it runs through my blood.
This is the first time I've been nervous in a long time speaking to any of our guests because I love you.
And we don't need any more John McCain's. We don't need any more Lindsey Graham's.
You're on the wrong side, Mr. Ryan. You need to come back home.
Pure energy.
Once again, here is Wayne Dupree.
And I'm talking about my brother, Eric Rush. How you doing, Eric?
I am doing very well. How are you today? It is a very frightening prospect that, we have a Republican leadership that is essentially part of this, ruling class.
Listen to the Wayne Dupree Show Monday through Wednesday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, right here on the 405radio.com. Congratulations to Jordan Bostick of Vocalize.com. Jordan will be among our VIP bloggers at Write Online and Defending the Dream Summit, and she wins the grand prize of an interview with an A-list conservative on Saturday at Defending the Dream. Congratulations, Jordan, and we'll see you in Orlando at Write Online Defending the Dream Summit. 24/7 talk, new voices, and live from Write Online Defending the American Dream Summit, it's the 405radio.com.
Hey everybody, this is Tammy Jackson, and I hope that you can join me each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the 405 for the Tammy Jackson Show. Turn off the TV, you won't miss NCIS. The sitcoms aren't funny, and reality shows don't begin to address the realities facing our nation now concerning the economy, the Second Amendment, foreign policy, and the culture war. We have fun, but take the issues very seriously, and I love talking to you. So join me on the 405 Tuesday night at 7 for the Tammy Jackson Show.
We are a bold and active voice for the unborn. We are Audio Girl Ministries, saving the lives of babies by helping moms in crisis pregnancies get past the crisis. How? Free ultrasound imaging so the woman can see the life she's carrying, and by supplying her with essential baby items, diapers, clothes, food, crib, car seat, all given with a loving and caring heart. Want to help? Log on to audiogirlministries.com and make a tax-deductible donation. audiogirlministries.com. Thanks.
There's another outtake, but it's going to go on the reel anyway. It's the 405 Radio. We are in Orlando, Florida, sweating to the oldies and waiting for Right Online and defending the Dream Summit. Some quality time on Radio Row tomorrow. Wayne Dupree joins us. He's been with us from the start, really, since we were dirt, as I like to say.
That's right.
And he believed in us, we believed in him, and here we are a year later, and we're pretty happy about that. So, Wayne, great to meet you, and welcome
here,
to Orlando.
Same here.
So what are you going to be doing in the next weeks and months? I know you've got conferences lined up. Man, your calendar's pretty full right now.
It's starting to get full.
What are the big ones that you're looking at, and what do you want people to be aware of in terms of, you know, some things that they can do and participate in and some places they can go?
Well, we have, there's a 9/11 tribute in Washington, D.C. That's looking like it's going to be a big one. They have people coming from across the country, and I was asked to speak, which is good because I'd like to get out there and tell people exactly how I feel about this administration and what it's done in the case of war. Benghazi, Fast and Furious, everything. So that's coming up that's coming up on 9/11. Then CPAC at the end of September
in St. Louis.
Right. Going to try to get out there. Right now I have one West Virginia event, but it looks like it might be two West Virginia events weekend at work, two weekends in a row in October. And there are some more possible speaking events coming up after that. So it's full.
He's a much in demand guy. And you've added some blogging and writing to your site. I know Kat Hernandez has done some.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about some of the pieces that are up there right now people can check out.
Oh, man. Kat Hernandez has put up some big pieces, that turn some heads. With the killing of the Oklahoma kid, that went like wildfire. That spread. That was up to about 4,000 views from the last time that I saw it, where it was mostly, I apologize for the United States and our government with not doing what I feel to come out and to let that country know this is not us. So.
And we have fun with the videos and the radio stuff, but people like to read. They like to read good blogs and absorb that stuff. And I think it, you know, makes you come across as a lot more thoughtful if you put those things to words.
I'm starting to realize the more you write about what you're thinking and how you feel, the more people relate and say, you know what, you're saying what I said, or you're saying what I want to say. And I treasure you for that. So I've been wanting to say stuff for a long time, and people used to say, do you have a blog yet? And I said, no, I have a blog.
Yeah, that's kind of the gold standard, isn't
it? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
If you get on social media and you mouth off at different things, people want to know if you have a home, so they can
go
read
exactly.
More
there's
stuff.
Just no depth, there's no staying power to Twitter. I agree with that 100%.
Right.
Wayne is News Ninja 2012 on Twitter, his website, newsninja2012.com. Mm-hmm. And as the man says on the radio show, you've heard him on Hannity, you've heard him on Glenn Beck, and you've heard him on the Mark Levin show. But his radio home is here at the 405 Radio. So Wayne Dupree will be hanging out with you all weekend, and thanks for saying hello to the folks.
Thank you.
It's the 405 Radio. We are live in Orlando, Florida. It's the Defending the American Dream Summit and Right Online, although they're not in the same facility. Defending the American Dream has Radio Row, and Americans for Prosperity has been nice enough to invite us along. We've got a bunch of the hosts that you hear from day to day doing some shows, coming and doing some live things here. Jay Caruso will be coming up at the top of the hour with Matt Hopps, Matt Hockman, and you know those guys from Pocket Cast of Liberty. Anyway, we're here with Tom Bollock, Jordan Bostic. We wanted to flip into some pop culture here really quickly. Tom, you want to talk about Miley Cyrus? I guess there's something you got to say about that whole thing.
Well, yeah, John. First I wanted to ask my co-panelist, Jordan, here, if she's working on her twerking.
Oh, no.
You know, I heard someone on Fox News, I think it was Andrea Tanteros, say that any woman that said they had not twerked was lying. And I disagree with that. I have never twerked.
Yeah.
I don't think it's classy. I don't think it's cute. I don't think guys think
it's cute. I think it makes for good
cute.
TV, but I don't agree with her on that.
Well, I play in a couple of bands in Charlotte, and I'm telling you, the people in the clubs that I play at are twerking all the time. And it's not just the kids either. The grandmas are twerking just as well.
It's just not my style. I'm not into it.
It grosses me out, too. The Miley Cyrus thing, though, that was not just twerking. That was porn. That was over the top. And the little secret that I don't think a lot of people realize, and I may catch it for this, John, from saying this on the air, but I have a
It's not broadcast. There's no FCC. So
okay.
Just
well, that wasn't what I was getting at. I suspect that a lot of guys are not as turned on by that overt a performance as a lot of the girls think we are. You know, guys may enjoy a little porn now and then, not if it's the person that they want to have a relationship with.
Yeah.
We don't share, is what I'm saying.
I know Hollywood likes to be sexy, but I personally don't think that was sexy, and I don't know a single guy that did. None of the guys I hang out with thought it was sexy. They all thought it was gross and trashy.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And it is kind of a political issue to the extent that one side of our culture would like to have no rules, no, you know, laissez-faire.
Yeah.
Anything goes.
You know, and during the coverage of the Miley Cyrus twerking fiasco at the VMAs, there were so many other things going on, like what's going on in Syria. Obama's getting a pass on this. He doesn't have to explain what he's doing to the United States people in Syria because everyone's talking about Miley Cyrus. And, you know, there's been you know, a lot of radiation leaking in Japan, and I'm a huge sushi lover, so this is a huge issue for me. But that's not getting any coverage either. So it's, for me, it's really sad that people in Hollywood think that this is great for their ratings or great for their publicity, but there's more important things going on, and they're just distracting from
the things that matter. Do you think people will get over this? I mean, is this kind of like a vulgar Macarena?
Already,
you know?
Over it. It's
yeah,
a flash.
I think
flash.
So. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think people are already tired of it, and but it did what it was supposed to do. It distracted us, and it made Miley Cyrus' album go number one. So
yeah, and, you know, I wonder if that's going to have any staying power. My guess is that she probably put a pretty good kink in her career.
A lot of people on the right say that we have to engage culture, and for me, that's sort of a cocktail term because I don't know exactly what it means. It means different things to different people, but does that mean that, you know, you need to give some attention to a Miley Cyrus, or does that mean we have to create our own culture, or, you know, what do you think when people say we have to engage the culture? What does that mean to you folks?
That's an interesting topic.
Well,
you're
a rock guitar player, so you're already doing it.
I am. Hey, I'm an old guy. I'm going to be 60 here pretty soon, but I like to say I was playing guitar back when Pete Frampton had hair. I don't know if you see, you're too young to even know
hair.
Pete Frampton is.
I had hair like Peter Frampton's when Peter
Pete
Frampton
had
hair.
Had the most gorgeous flowing locks you ever saw and just smoked a guitar.
See, Jordan has to Google Peter Frampton. That's how far we've sunk here.
It's so
but anyway,
true.
That's what I'm trying to do with my
blog. All she knows about Peter Frampton is what she's seen on the Geico commercials, right?
Right.
She doesn't even
know.
She's staring at me like a deer in headlights.
Over my head.
My blog site is called Rockin' on the Right Side. For those of you who want to find it on the web, go to rockinrightside.com. And what I'm doing there is, like I said, teaching some conservative principles, but with some humor and with some music. And being a lifetime musician, every situation reminds me of lyrics. I have thousands and thousands of songs in the back of my gray matter, and everything I see and hear reminds me of a lyric to a song. So I always add a video with some lyrics at the end of my blogs, and that little bit of culture, that little bit of entertainment kind of opens the door for some viewers, readers, who otherwise might not get engaged.
I completely agree. I think that's awesome that you offer people, you know, some music and some culture. It's art, basically, along with politics, because sometimes politics is a lot to swallow. It's frustrating. And
it can be dry.
And it can be depressing. You know, sometimes after I watch the news or read an article that upsets me and makes me worry about our country, it's. I wish I had a pick-me-up after that. But I definitely agree with you that you think
Maybe you need some purple drink or something.
You know,
you know, a few weeks ago, I was at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas, which is a similar type of conference, except this is for Big L libertarians. Mm-hmm. And we did some interviews. One of the persons I talked to, and I think Jordan might know who this is and Tom might not, although Tom might, Kennedy. She was on MTV. She was an MTV host. She also does some radio shows in Southern California. She's a libertarian. She's also on Reason TV. And so is Drew Carey. So we can sort of transition into this, but, you know, do you think the ticket to getting into pop culture is to, you know, move into more of the libertarian side of things? Because it seems like, you know, there's a fit to some extent with people in the entertainment industry and the libertarian movement, and some things, frankly, we don't agree with. But and you're kind of wincing at me over there, Tom. So
I'm not. But things are changing, and you know, one of the things we have to accept as conservatives is that, in for the most part, we're an older group of people than our counterparts on the liberal side. Thank goodness that there's young people like Jordan that are taking the challenge, but. We have to keep in mind that Obama is where he is because people think he's cool. And coolness was a more important factor to most of the people who voted for him than anything else.
Well, okay, so I agree that people think he's cool, and that's why he wins, because they're so uneducated about everything else that's going on. It's like they've never even heard of anybody else. Obama is on every single social media platform. I mean, I don't know if you guys know what Spotify is, but it's a music sharing platform, and his playlists are amazing. So obviously people are going to connect with him. But I've noticed that as a young conservative, it's really easy for me to talk to people about the issues and convince them that they need to really think differently than just, oh, Obama's cool and I'm going to vote for him, or I believe gay people should be able to get married, so I'm going to vote left.
So you're seeing young converts coming over to our side.
Yeah, I think from me being a person that really shares the issues, discusses the issues, I mean, my friends, they don't want to talk about politics, but I force them to. I literally bring it up in every single conversation. Last night, I sent my friend a text, just a rant, like ranting text about something, and they wouldn't have been exposed to it if I didn't share it with them, and they know that I'm not a weird person.
Did you go to college in San Diego?
No, I went to Arizona State University.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, you know, that's probably more of a conservative campus, by and large, than you would find anywhere on the West Coast. Would you agree?
Yeah, but I grew up in San Diego,
right.
And I live there now. And
But at least, you know, your formative political experiences were at ASU and not, you know...
I was there for the SB 1070 blow-up fiasco, and there were a lot of... I mean, the campus was liberal. My major was liberal. I was a communications major, so I got liberal rhetoric spun at me all day long. But the people that are from Arizona, and a lot of people go there from in-state, so there were definitely a lot of conservatives, but it was a mix, I think. But in San Diego, it's definitely liberal, but... I find when I post on Facebook and when I talk to people, if you explain it to them and you say, you know, Obamacare is going to make your health insurance, either you're going to lose it through your employer, or it's going to, your premiums are going to go up, you're going to have lower quality health care, and the government is going to have all of your health information, that makes people really uncomfortable because I don't think people trust the government.
It's encouraging that you're winning over some young people who have traditionally joined the other side. I'm finding lately, I've been reaching out to some people who haven't traditionally been conservatives, such as government employees. I'm finding more and more government employees who have been putting up with this crap. I mean, they're not dumb people. They can see what's going on.
Well, and there's a reason why they want to be excluded from Obamacare. We can talk about Capitol Hill staffers. We can talk about union people. They don't want it. They want to keep their health insurance, and that's what they think they voted for. But that's not what they voted for.
But aside from self-interest, a lot of the government employees are patriots just like everybody else. They're raising their families. They're going to church on Sunday. They're supporting charities. They're putting up with the nonsense because they're protecting their jobs and a little bit afraid, frankly, of the new administration.
But I'm going to guess you have a little less hostility toward government employees in Montana than you do, say, in California, because you don't have these monstrous time bomb pensions that are sitting out
there. Well, here's what's happening, John.
Right?
Our city and local and state employees are our neighbors and friends. And they're Montanans, you know, so of course we have a mutual respect and enjoy the same lifestyle and all. What's happened is the overreach from the federal government is taking such a foothold in local government. Those of you out there in internet land, if you are not aware of Agenda 21, please Google it and start studying.
Yes.
Because it is taking over city
that's,
and county
government. That is Wayne Dupree's bread and butter, Agenda 21. He's had a number of shows on that, and that's gotten a lot of attention.
So you asked about the hostility. Our hostility is to the federal government and the dark forces within the federal government.
Well, Agenda 21 is actually a UN thing, right? It's from the UN,
but it's infiltrating local governments through federal money.
But it's voted on. Yeah, it's voted on at the city council level, right?
Right.
Yeah. So like San Diego, they've already voted on it and accepted it, and I don't think a single person in San Diego even knows about it.
Look at all of the growth policies; they're driven by Agenda 21. Drive on any city street and look at all the bike lanes that are painted all over that nobody's using.
Well, what I think is most
mass transit
scary about that is the rewildification, I guess they call
what?
It.
Very serious.
The what?
Very serious.
In Agenda 21, there's something called the rewildification of the United States, and it basically designates certain areas as only for wildlife. So people are not allowed to live there. And in 2016, I think, is when they start, the government is going to try to start moving people off of any land that is considered wild land. And I think there's going to be a lot more land considered wild than we think. But I don't know if they're going to be able to do this, because if they try to move me off my land, I live on 5 acres in inland, a little bit more inland, and I know that my family would be like,
well, and my neighbors in Montana, we're all packing heat too, so.
Yeah, that's not happening. And
they're taking the guns away from people in California, so Jordan,
it is not going to happen in Montana. If
chances are something that, you know, is on the Bostic Ranch is going to get confiscated by the state of California, so.
If you're a Second Amendment person, Montana is the place to be.
Yes.
All right. We're going to take one more break. We'll come back again at 11 o'clock Eastern. That is, 8 o'clock on the West Coast. Jay Caruso and Matt Hockman will be here, and they are from the Pocket Cast of Liberty gang. And I don't know what they'll do. You know, it's live radio. We're just sort of sitting here. We're strangers in a strange place, and they're going to talk to us for an hour. We'll take a couple hours off, then come back in the afternoon. We've got some guests lined up as well, so we'll sort of read you the roster of who those guests are. It's the 405radio.com. We're live in Orlando, Florida. It's the Defending the American Dream Summit, and thanks to Americans for Prosperity for making us feel welcome. We'll come right back. Congratulations to Jordan Bostic of Vocalize.com. Jordan will be among our VIP bloggers at Write Online and Defending the Dream Summit, and she wins the grand prize of an interview with an A-list conservative on Saturday at Defending the Dream. Congratulations, Jordan, and we'll see you in Orlando at Write Online Defending the Dream Summit. 24/7 talk, new voices, and live from Write Online Defending the American Dream Summit, it's the 405radio.com.
Time for the Pocket Cast of Liberty with the pocket full of a-holes.
Scott Walker is somewhat of like a Rick Perry.
Now, I don't want to get off on a rant here, but...
Well, no, not Twitter, but you know...
Perennially. No, I know. Listen, that's a great note, but I've been waiting to make this point. It's because perennially, Twitter is the opposite of what turns out in the primary.
Well, this isn't any fun.
He's not Obama. That's what people are going for. And but I'm saying all this issue with Chris Christie and saying that it's going to be the same progression. We don't want that to happen because the same progression before didn't work. Oh, after McCain, we'll have Romney, and after Romney, we'll have Christie. We don't want that.
Drew's kind of like a hipster, so guys go and share a couple of, Pabst Blue Ribbons or something. There you go. See? The PBRs.
Listen to Pocket Cast of Liberty. 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, Thursday nights.
Pocket full of a-holes.
Only on the 405radio.com. Christy, are you doing okay?
Hey,
everybody. This is Tammy Jackson, and I hope that you can join me each and every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. on the 405 for the Tammy Jackson Show. Turn off the TV. You won't miss NCIS. The sitcoms aren't funny, and reality shows don't begin to address the realities facing our nation now concerning the economy, the Second Amendment, foreign policy, and the culture war. We have fun, but take the issues very seriously, and I love talking to you. So join me on the 405 Tuesday night at 7 for the Tammy Jackson Show.
Hi, this is Bill Post, host of the Bill Post Radio Show. Two different versions, live at 7 o'clock Pacific Time and the Salem Mix at 8 o'clock Pacific Time, right here on the 405radio.com.
Hi, this is Dana Perino, and you're listening to the 405 Radio.
24/7 talk and new voices. It is the 405radio.com. We have bugged out of Southern California. We're clear on the other side of the country here in Orlando, Florida for the Defending the American Dream Summit and Right Online, which are twin conferences about, what, Jordan, about a mile apart, I guess?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to make it over to the other one. I think I'm going to be stuck here. I say that affectionately, stuck here, but I'm going to be here for the duration.
I just took a cab over, and yeah, it's probably about like a 5-minute drive, so not too bad, but it's confusing that they're a little bit separated.
A little hotter here than it is in Montana, too.
Really? Yeah. It's hot in the Midwest, and you know, it's, you know, it is what it is on the West Coast, but we got about 18 minutes left. Let's talk about your Obama phone.
We're sitting here giggling about my Obama phone. I wrote a blog post a couple of weeks ago. I said, I wonder if it's really as easy to get an Obama phone as everybody says it is. So I got online. I applied. I didn't tell any lies. I told the absolute truth. Put in an honest application.
And the website is obamaphone.com?
No, actually, all you got to do is search Obama phone, and several vendors will come up.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This has sort of been farmed out to some subcontractors
or
something?
Well, I got mine in North Carolina from Assurance, which is... a division of Virgin Mobile, actually. But I ordered an Obama phone to make a point. I wanted to point out that the federal government can't do anything right. There are reports all over the web of people buying as many as 30 Obama phones and selling them for $40 a piece. There's no control over this situation. The phone companies are out to sell as many of them as they can for pure profit. They send the bill to the taxpayers and get the money. Now,
for the uninitiated, explain to us. The phone's free and so is the minutes? You don't get a bill for it?
I get 250 minutes a month and 250 texts. Now, I'm not using this thing.
Do you get
like
a bill
said,
for the just, overages, or you just don't see anything? How does that work?
You can buy extra minutes if you need more minutes. But the point is, the government can't do anything right, and these are the people who want to take over the whole healthcare industry.
Yeah,
mind-boggling.
That's what I was thinking when you were talking. It's just the government's so inefficient, and they just don't even know how to keep track of their own...
$2.4 billion for Obama phones this year.
I still think we have a long way to go to crawl out of the hole where people don't expect free stuff. And I think that stuff that you saw yesterday with the $15 an hour minimum wage is part of that. Because people believe that they can just say, I want that, you know, social justice, I'm entitled to that, this is a right, and they can take it. Whether it's, you know, $15 an hour from the guy that owns the McDonald's that they work for, or the Dunkin' Donuts, or an Obama phone, or healthcare. You have these people that come out on the left and they say, this is a right, and for the most part, they're not challenged.
There's the entitlement aspect of it, and there's the corruption aspect of it. And this is an example of both. Now, I don't want to... My opposition in Montana got after me because they claimed that I said this was a
your opposition.
A tax
who's
program.
That exactly?
The big liberal blog in Montana.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And I'm not going to name
blog
them
wars
on the
in
air.
Montana.
Yeah, blog wars. Yeah. They were after me about this. I did not say and would not intend to say that this is a taxpayer paid program. But in reality, it is, because every cell phone company charges you. Look at your cell phone bill. There's a universal access fee on your cell phone bill, and you don't have any choice, and the cell phone company doesn't have any choice. It's mandated by federal law, so call it a tax. That's what it is.
So we're told this is a program that began under
George Bush.
Yeah. Okay, I thought we were going to blame Reagan or Bush. I wasn't sure which here.
We're blaming Bush.
But it was expanded under the Obama administration.
Well, and that's
that
the
accurate?
Other thing. I didn't exactly say that this was Obama's fault in any way, but it is popularly known as The Obama phone. That's what everybody calls him.
You know that there was almost a Marco phone.
Yeah, what do you think about that? Because, you know,
I think he should have read the bill.
I know Matt Boyle. I know the guy who wrote the article on that. And I agree with him and, you know, trust him for the most part. But do you think people were taking liberties with that? You're talking about the provision in the immigration bill, the Gang of Eight, which would have, what, given phones to Border Patrol agents or something?
It would have given phones to illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I read it on the Shark Tank. And that's out of Florida. And I know he's pretty dialed in Florida and what's going on with everything with Marco Rubio. But I just thought, you know, maybe Marco Rubio should have read the bill that he was endorsing. I don't know if he did.
Yeah, and I want to talk about immigration in a little bit here, but I wanted to sort of wrap up the Obama phone topic, sort of, and talk about people coming out of college. And when did you graduate?
I graduated in 2012.
Okay, so you're right out of college. You know, do the people
I've
that you know...
I've got T-shirts that are older than you.
What I'm going to ask is, let's talk about student loans, and let's talk about that as an entitlement. Do you know a lot of people who have student loans? Are they looking at, you know, no visible means of paying those back? Or, you know, you're sort of our boots on the ground with the recent college graduate and student loans. And, you know, for all I know, you paid for college out of pocket. It's none of my business. But I'm just sort of trying to, you know, gauge where that's at.
People are frustrated because school is so expensive, and I understand
because it's subsidized by the government.
And people have to take out loans to go to college, which I'm kind of, my personal opinion is this whole you have to go to college thing to be successful is a complete lie. I understand that if you want to work a certain job, it's part of your resume that you have to have. And college is important, and I would encourage people to go to college, but maybe find a way to make it more affordable. Start a community college, because a lot of these people cannot, college isn't giving you a guaranteed job. And they're basically saying that if you go to college, you're going to get a job, and that is not the case, especially now. So maybe take some time off work, figure out what you actually want to do. Don't just go to college and take a random major like I did. I didn't know what I wanted to do, so I just took a communication major, went through, it was easy, you know, an easy major. And luckily I figured out that I love politics and I this is what I want to do. But a lot of people just look at college as kind of a stepping stone to a career, and it's not. You have to find your passion and then get an education for your passion.
How close are we to young people considering cheap college or cheap college loans or free college as an entitlement? I mean, are we almost, you know, over the hill on that too?
Well, I mean, look at what the administration is pushing for now. They're pushing to excuse or forgive college loans, which is ridiculous. If you took out a loan, whether you get a job or not, guess what? You owe that money. Somebody else paid for it. So you have to pay them back. That's just what I believe is the right thing to do. But a lot of people think that they shouldn't have to pay their college loans. And it's going to be the bubble to burst. It is. There's so much college. I don't know the exact numbers right now, but the college debt crisis is coming. And that's why I think people are wasting their time going to college if they don't know what they want to do. You know, like I said, I'm lucky that I figured out my passion. But if you're just going to go to college and take a random major and then, you know, kind of go with the flow and you don't know what you want to do.
I think you're basically unemployable. You're better off going to a trade school and, you know, making six figures as a plumber.
And I know I went to
And I know you can make six figures as a plumber in Southern California.
No, and I know I went to Arizona State University. It's not the hardest school to get into. But I feel like in my classes, I wasn't learning things that are so helpful to my career. I think I'm learning more now in the private sector, doing things through learning from actually doing things than I did in the classroom. I think the thing that college did for me was it gave me a chance to grow up because I moved out, you know, I made my own life, I moved out of state. But I don't think that everything I learned in my college courses, and I got almost straight A's.
Jordan, it was exactly the same for me in the early 70s, exactly the same. The School of Hard Knocks teaches you more than anything you can learn sitting at a desk.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here with immigration. We've got about 10 minutes to go. It's a big divisive issue right now, and a lot of people are wondering if it's something that the Republicans should take on because it's essential for their survival. I mean, what's the way to go on this? Clearly, the metrics say that massive numbers of illegal immigrants who are suddenly legal and potentially voters are not going to be Republicans. They're not going to vote for the GOP. I mean, the numbers are out there. But there are some people on our side who believe that, you know, the optics, the outreach are such that we have to deal with this, and we have to deal with this soon. I'll let you go first, Jordan, because you're in a border state, and you're in San Diego, and, you know, you're a hop, skip, and a jump from the border there. There's sometimes, by the way, if I drive far enough into San Diego where I get on my cell phone, welcome to Mexico. So I'm sure you get that too. But anyway, tell us what you think about immigration.
I am okay with allowing people to come here and work and gain citizenship because they want to come here and work, because I believe their values are hard work. You know, they love America because of the opportunities it brings. I'm not okay with people just coming here to get an education or, you know, to float around. And I'm definitely worried about the border security when it comes to terrorism and also the drug cartels. There was a lot of violence going on. I was in two border states, Arizona and San Diego, my entire life, and the dangers of the cartels, kidnapping, holding people for ransom, that stuff was out of control for
a
while.
And it's underreported.
It's underreported.
Unless you're in Arizona or you're in San Diego.
Hezbollah is 100% in Mexico and San Diego and Arizona working with the drug cartels. 100% proven fact. So those are the things I'm worried about. I don't try to get too paranoid about these things, but I just worry sometimes that if there were ever to be some kind of plan, you know, going through the border would be the easiest way for people to accomplish that. But I'm not so worried about the workers, and I think that if we were to kick all of them out or not allow them to come, I think that our agriculture industry would face serious labor cost increases. And as horrible as that is to admit, it's a fact. They pay them under the table, and that's why your food costs what it costs. So if you want to raise their wages to $15 an hour...
But here's what the argument is going to be. If you let them come into the country to work, they're going to bring families. You know, the children are going to be made to be legal, and you can't separate the families. You see where this goes?
Yeah, it's a very complex issue, and I try to bring it back to economics because I think that's the most important thing. And like I said, if you kick them out, you're going to have labor cost increases in a lot of industries, especially agriculture. But if you don't kick them out and you allow these, or you don't find a way to legalize them, and you're allowing these companies to pay them wages that they cannot live in America, they're paying them under the table, it's almost modern-day slavery because you're not paying them enough to live.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, that's
and
what
you,
I think.
You hit on it. You can look at this from several different standpoints, and you hit on several of them. Security is sure one of them. The thing that annoys me, I think, more than anything is that our opposition, we're conservatives all here at this table, our opposition is using what's essentially a humanitarian issue for political purposes.
You're importing people who are automatically in poverty.
They're taking advantage of a crisis. And they're actually doing more damage from a humanitarian standpoint with their approach than if we had a controlled situation.
It's, like I said, border. It's modern-day slavery. But then that brings you into a discussion about, you know, minimum wage. What's going on there? Because if we raise their wages, all of our food prices are going
to
go up.
Not to mention all the union contracts will go up, too.
So I would ask...
That are tied to minimum wage.
People on the left that want to raise the minimum wage and you want to legalize illegal immigration, or you want to legalize all of these immigrants that are here illegally, are you ready to pay the price for
it? There's two groups of immigrants that I've had experience with in the business world. I have done business with very wealthy illegal immigrants who deal with everything on a cash basis.
The cash economy in Southern California is huge.
They buy vehicles with wads of $100 bills.
Exactly.
They don't pay taxes. They don't pay insurance. And behind them is a trail of underpaid and abused guys. So it's kind of an ugly situation.
Where does the government get off setting wage levels for people who are here illegally? Or, for that matter, where does it get off setting wage levels for high-tech visas? Because basically, part of this immigration bill is to jack up the number of high-tech visas, and suddenly we've got this glut of, you know, technological geniuses coming from overseas who are going to compete with Americans here because the Silicon Valley guys don't want to pay any more than they have to for, you know, their technical people. Same deal.
Well, you have to let market forces control prices and wages.
And the libertarian will say that if the market works, then there shouldn't be any caps on immigration. And I agree with that, but that presupposes that there's no welfare state, which there is. See, those two things sort of go hand in hand, and I agree with the libertarians on immigration, but you have to pull the trigger on the welfare state, otherwise that immigration thing doesn't work.
And markets have to be fair, too. And if you're dealing with a global market, you have to be sure that it's fair give and take, that you don't have tariffs on one side and not on the other side.
We're going to wrap it up real quick here. I want Jordan, tell us where we can find you on social media. Vocalize.com, obviously. You're on Instagram, and I'm not. My bad. Where can people find you?
I personally am on every single social media platform, Pinterest, Instagram, everything.
You're going to have to come back and have an in-service for the 405 radio people, because except for Wayne, most of us are dorks when it comes to doing this right.
Well, so you can find me, Jordan Bostic, on any of those social media sites, and then also Vocalize, VOLKALIZE.com. Come there and debate with me, and then Vocalize is also on Twitter and Facebook, and Pinterest and YouTube.
And we'll have you back tomorrow for another interview to be announced.
Yes, I'm very excited. Everyone needs to tune in because it's going to be
all
awesome.
Right. We've kind of kept it a secret, but I think it's going to leak out. So, Tom, social media, where are you?
I'm on Twitter, at Tom Balek, TOMBALEK. And my blog site is... it's called Rockin' on the Right Side, and the web address is rockinrightside.com.
Okay, we'll bump into you guys, I'm sure, here later. We'll see you, Jordan, tomorrow. And that'll do it for the VIP blogger segment live from Defending the American Dream Summit. Yeah, you can just switch off those microphones. On the 405radio.com, Jay Caruso, Matt Hockman coming up next. I have no idea what they're going to do. They're on the other side of the curtain, so they're just around the corner. It's John Grant here, and we will be talking to you.
The proceeding was recorded earlier because we were ashamed to do it now.